to the Dean Blundell Show. My name is Dean, and we've started.
Glad you went live now and not like 5 minutes ago.
Me too. We were talking about a female politician that loved the Gak Gak, if you know what I'm talking about, the Gak Gak.
Jason Kenney.
No, female politician. Wait, I had a boy. anyway, welcome to the show. My name is Dean. That is Lachlan Cross from 95.7 Cruise FM, Morning Guy in Edmonton, Alberta. That is James.
They gave me a cup.
Yeah, it's a nice one. James DiFiore from blackballmedia.ca. And we've got lots to get to. Nice to see you. You're not Jason Kenney. Good to see you guys. How are we doing? Well, before we get to the show, because we've got lots of stuff to get to. We've got some dick pics to talk about.
Ooh, yeah, I saw that.
We got some neo-Nazis to talk about. Infiltrating the Canadian political system, the neo-Nazis.
Centrists?
Neo-Nazis, Tiger Woods. We got Joe Exotic is getting a fucking pardon today. The world is laughing at the United States, by the way. And I want to talk about that. We've got some inaugural stuff to get to, but I want to know how you guys are doing. So Locke's in Alberta. James, you're in Killaloe, Ontario. We're a stay-at-home order here. We can't go anywhere, can't do fucking anything. And I said to someone today, because I actually had to go and get a couple groceries and a couple other things. Lady says to me, how you doing? Like, I'm at groceries, checkout. How you doing? I'm like, Jesus, nobody ever asked me how I'm doing. That's pretty nice. I said, I'm doing really well. How are you? She goes, you're doing what? I go, yeah, I'm doing well. I feel good. She's like, how can you put, this is a lady at Walmart. How can you possibly be doing well? And by the way, Walmart's the only thing open. That's why I went there. And I said, well, I don't know. I feel pretty good. I've got good friends. Business is good. I feel creative. My kids are happy for the most part. I got food in the fridge and a warm place to live. And she's like, that's nothing. That's nothing. She says to me, and I said, well, what are you, you know, how you doing? She's like, fucking terrible. Like, oh yeah, well, I could have guessed that from your intro there. I had no idea that you were doing terrible. And she says, I just don't understand. I don't understand why we have to wear these masks. This is someone working at a Walmart. Doesn't understand why she's got to wear the mask. And my general feeling was that she was overwhelmed, right? So I'm taking the temperature of the podcast. How are we doing? Let's start with Lachlan. How are you feeling? You look terrific.
Thank you. I am feeling pretty decent. I was just saying that I've got a trip planned. One of the things that you can do in Alberta is you can go skiing. So we're going to go up to Marmot.
Are you really?
Yeah. I had a lot more excitement for the trip before it took a bit of a turn. I've said this on my show many times. I'll repeat it here. Kids will ruin your life. So I love my kids because I'm supposed to, and they were very adorable, but now they get in the way of sex trips. Like, I had plans to go up to Jasper, hang from the damn chandeliers.
Give it to the bride.
And now they're coming. And so now my sex trip plans are completely canceled. But
how long have you been married?
You know what? That could be an evolutionary 94. Thing. That could be an evolutionary thing, because kids, they exist because of sex, and maybe they're trying to stop their parental units from having sex because they don't want to compete with other siblings.
It's working.
You seem so. I think it's. I'm kind of fucking amazed that you had, like, at the age of 51 and 26 years of marriage, that you're like, yeah, I can't wait to go have sex with her again. You know, like, and
it's
still good, man. I know. I don't identify with you. Mind you, the last thing on my mind is having anyone in 10 square feet of me for a prolonged period of time right now. So it's like, I'm not interested in any of that, but like, do you guys talk before you do it still? Is there a preamble, or is there making out?
There's still a level of foreplay involved
for you or
and,
her?
For her.
Okay.
I'm involved. I'm the foreman.
Yeah, you're involved. What choice do you have? You're on the bottom.
Have you been watching? James is a watcher. He keeps coming up that he's a watcher. So anyway, yeah. And then my wife is waiting for that thing to kick in where you stop being, stop the getting ecstasy. A boner every day.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you still get boners, obviously. You still get terrific boners.
I say at least two or three times a week, I wake up with a rager. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So, yeah. Still pretty healthy. Yeah,
I don't have any.
I go to the chiropractor a lot. So,
oh, do you? You adjust your pelvis?
The chiropractor.
You go for a pelvic. I couldn't. I don't know, man. I love guys that have been married for as long as you have and still like have plans to go on a sex trip with their wife. Like that's really incredible. Same thing with women. You know, if a woman planned a sex trip for her and her man, I'd be like, well, good for you, I guess, if that's, you know, what you want to do. But I don't know. I just, the very thought of going on a sex trip with my ex grosses me out.
Vacation sex, the best.
Well, what's the difference between vacation sex and weekend sex? You're not doing anything that day either.
It's
vacation sex usually costs money.
I'm okay with it. I'll pay for it. It's fine. You're paying for it anyway, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, good for you, Locke. I think that's really commendable that you guys still touch each other in the dirty spots. It's so fucking unbelievable.
Plus, you don't look a day over 53.
Well, you should see my balls. They look 108. We've covered that territory, haven't we?
Yeah, dude. We've talked about your balls a lot, like more than I want to actually admit that we've talked about your balls. I do want to talk about a couple of things. I don't know where you guys want to start today because we've got a lot to get to. Do you want to go neo-Nazis? Do you want to talk about James's piece? I think we should start with James's
piece. Let's start with James's piece.
Yeah. So James is, just to give people kind of a backstory, James is an unbelievable fucking writer, and he's an assassin with a computer. He's really fucking good. He's also a terrific rapper. He's a rap star. He's a dope ass rapper.
It's true.
And he wrote a piece and he sent it to me yesterday. He's like, hey, have a look at this and let me know what you think. It's a little long. So I read it and I'm reading it. And I read it like four or five times. And I'm like, I got to fucking sleep on this because it was hot. Like it was one of those. And I like to make me uncomfortable. You have to do a lot. And I was
that's
like,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
When I saw that exchange about you not wanting to run it, I was like, holy shit.
Lundell, we were having something.
We had a chuckle, Grant and I, on the show this morning. I said, James wrote a piece and Dean doesn't want to run it. He's worried about what kind of reaction he's going to get. Shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
Thanks a lot,
I need to read that.
Okay. So I have read it and I'm going to put it up. It's up at blackballmedia.ca. If you want to go and read it, please do so. That's James's digital property. And it's
true. I just tweeted it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. I tweeted it as well.
But it was. Account. It was Democrat, it was AOC, it was wokeism, and it was like, there was a line in there, it's like if you, or not a line, there was a feeling in there, it's like, if you want to know why white people are mad, this is why. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know if I can run that. You've gone and jigged it, but you had some great fucking points in there, you know? And
it wasn't like he was siding with them, though.
No, I know that.
It was an explanation as to... in my opinion, as to why things are so divisive.
Mm-hmm. So explain, because I think it's a great article. It's about woke. It's about being woke. And it's about the Democrats allowing basically that incredibly woke culture coming across. And I thought it was fucking brilliant, but it's a problem. It's a problem. In as much as right-wing extremism is a problem, left-wing extremism is a problem too.
Yeah. You know, there's this weird idea among, I guess, most progressives that because they feel that they're not just like, you know, better positioned politically, like they'd have a better outlook on life and all that, but they also truly believe that they are right. So then the other side, because it's so hyperpolarized in the United States, just has to be wrong by default. Right.
Right.
But then you're like, so I don't remember the CNN host, I was trying to figure out with Lachlan before we started, the black dude that was in Obama's administration and then he had a show on CNN.
Van Jones.
Van Jones, that's right. He did a special just before the election in 2016, where he went to middle America and he talked to these poor white folks, or, you know, middle to lower class white folks that were unemployed and all this. And he spoke to them and they didn't talk about social issues. They didn't talk about Confederate flags or abortion or anything like that. They talked about like jobs and how the jobs in their areas disappeared. Mm-hmm. And they were, and so the problem in 2016 is that the Democrats completely ignored these flyover states. And then all of them, even the people that were just concerned about economics, got thrown into the orange bathtub. And, you know, it doesn't matter anymore what these people think. So I've been for years trying to figure out how to, like, you know, navigate the waters, because in media, you're not allowed to talk about any type of grievances if they come from Caucasian people. It's just the way it is. And it's not because you want to convey some idea that you're just as oppressed or that you're even oppressed at all or whatever. It's just that sometimes something is said about Caucasians that is clearly hate speech if it was said about someone else. And there's like a zillion examples of not just that, but just behaviors towards white people in general. Mm-hmm. And it's just a weird phenomenon that the answer to stopping people from generalizing others due to the color of their skin is to generalize one group of people for the color of their skin. And it just doesn't make any sense to most people that want to see a sort of unity take place.
I just had a note, Dean, from somebody watching live.
Yeah.
And they said that they can't hear
I know,
me
I
and James.
I shut it off.
Did you get that? Yeah. Oh, you got that? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. All good.
Sorry, bro. No, I didn't mean to. It was an accident. I'm just technically fucking stupid. That's the problem. I think, you know, what you touched on in the article, which was brilliant, and I'm going to put it up on the site today. But I think what you touched on and what you were trying to get at, and I feel people's fucking anger, right? I feel white anger. I feel black anger. I feel the Me Too anger. I feel it. I don't just see it anymore. It's bizarre. And so when you talk about white people getting mad because if you talk about white people getting mad that other people are taking their jobs, it doesn't really fucking matter to me. You know what I mean? Like I'm of that opinion that representation is a good thing. Not appropriation's a bad thing. Representation's a really good thing. And after watching everything happen in the States over the past 4 years, knowing that, and we'll get to, you know, Aaron O'Toole and the Conservative Party of Canada, knowing that these guys have are being taken to the mat for supporting, you know, the white pride, because that's what I hear when I hear people go, what about the white people? I'm like, it's fucking, what do you mean, what about the white people? What do you mean, what about white jobs? What do you mean? Like, who gives a fuck? Are you serious right now? That's the part I don't understand.
I was careful not to make any of those points, because what I think was sort of the overarching issue was the idea that if you want to help poor people,
yeah,
cool, help poor people. But if you want to help poor people, except for those poor people, then it's like, okay, why is that the exchange? Why is that? I called it vicarious atonement for the sins of our ancestors. And it's like, I don't know how far back we have to go in order to be qualified as being responsible for that person's actions.
Yeah.
I don't know why not having a choice of how we were born. I mean, look, I'm not even saying that it is sort of a privilege, right? Obviously, to live in this society and not have to deal with people hating me for the color of my skin and stopping me from getting jobs. Except for the fact that right now it's sort of deliberately happening right in the open of people, you know, downplaying one certain, you know, downplaying Caucasians. I'm very careful. I don't want to use the word white people in fact, or white folks.
Honky.
I like honky.
I love honky.
And I like white devils too, because it makes me feel tough.
Crackers. No.
But the idea that I have to, that you know, I want to use the word Caucasian because I don't want people to get triggered with their SEO brains and then spit out something about the alt-right, you know?
I gotcha.
I'm going to bat for the idea that they shouldn't be mistreated in a way that you would say was hatred towards any other group. That's all I'm saying.
I got a really real strong sense that James was trying to present the imbalance of what the woke culture has created in society today. And that without getting into I'm a white guy and I don't have a job, or it wasn't to me. That wasn't the article. It was about, okay, you want to know why we have division right now? You know why? You want to know why that this new administration might not fix the current problems and things might not get better just because that dill hole Trump's out? This is why. And that, and I thought he did a really good job of presenting that in the article. The problem that I thought after I read it that you may have had is that nobody reads anything anymore. So I'm like, are people going to read like a full article? Because you need to get to the end of James's article so that the blows he made at the beginning of it are softened, right? Because it does soften you up a little bit at the end, and his point becomes a little bit more clear.
Lachlan, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? And you know what? I get that. I got that distinct feeling the first time I read it, and then James did a big rewrite and posted it, and it's still the same thing. It's more of a, hey, listen, are we allowed to raise our hands for equality across the board?
We have to raise our hands.
No, but I'm saying you know what?
You do.
But I know, and I think that I'm okay with it. Like, I think that
you can be okay with it. I'm not offended as a white person, but there's a difference between being right about something and being effective. And I don't think it is an effective strategy to shame white people in perpetuity in order to get them to not hate you. I just think it's counterintuitive.
It goes back to my comments not too long ago about the fact that I shy away from any of these conversations because you're immediately
white.
You're immediately just anything that comes out of your mouth based on that conversation isn't going to be taken seriously. So I just back away. James has the intelligence and the balls and the stupidity, I'll add that in there, jump into these conversations, right? Right.
But it's a valid conversation to have.
What else can we talk about as far as race goes, being three white guys?
Yeah, yeah. And three white guys discussing this doesn't help. But
I think it's pretty valuable to have privilege and talk about race. Don't you think? We have a unique perspective on the whole thing.
We do, unless a white person goes, hey, listen, I didn't get the same job that everybody else got, and they got picked because of the color of their skin. You know, and it unless someone says, okay, well, what's it like to live in a black man's reality or a white woman, black woman's reality? To ask a white person what it's like, they're not entitled to that opinion. You know, we're not entitled to the opinion of what it's like to live in another person's skin. We're just not. And because we were founded on colonial values, we've been given a leg up, white people, over time. Having said that, equality across the board is equality across the board. It's not making fun of white people. It's not shitting on white people. But like, no one can say that. No one has, and you did, and I appreciate it. No one right now, it's a fucking zero sum conversation to have publicly is, do we have equality across the
board? That's a good way of putting it.
For white people and for black people, because white people have been over equalityed for many, many, many years, if that's even a word. And so, and most of the problems that have been caused by segregation and separation have been by whites. So it's a tough fucking sell to actually have that conversation or write that article and not have someone go, fucking racist. You managed to do it.
But what you just said, you couldn't say about any other group of people. Like, imagine this.
We weren't enslaved.
Look, all I'm saying is, look at all the fucked up shit that blacks do. That's all I'm saying. You can't say that because it obviously sounds like racism, because it is. So if you then go like this, I'm just saying, look at all the fucked up shit white people do. Jesus Christ, they're fucked up. That's okay. We can deal with that.
I happen to agree.
It's just because we're living in a certain moment in time where we happen to like, you know, and by the way, we're building systems. Look, we're evolving from colonialists to racists. And then we're going from racists to these societies like in Europe and here, where that's trying to like rebuild You know, in a way that is fair, and I think we're butchering it entirely. But you know, there aren't many societies better than Western societies like Canada and you know Scandinavian countries and stuff. Like, where are there all these other countries that have a better life than them? Like, where would you rather live? And not even just as a white person, like as a, you know, I don't even know if we're allowed to say person of color, but a black person or brown person, like you're gonna want to live here. Why? Because we're colonialists and white supremacists? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why do you want to live here?
My daughter had an interesting conversation in class, and she told me about it. So she's a film school in Ryerson, and she made a comment. She said, and she was practically asked to leave the class. She said that she wants to get the job because she's the best person for the job, not because she is a girl or because she's the right colors. She said, I just want to get the job. And they chewed her up.
Why?
Because you can't say that. You can't, in the woke world that we live in right now, and James is right, we're at this point right now where we're making a transition and we're overcorrecting. So they chewed her up. Oh, black t-shirt day. Nice work, Darren.
You got the memo. You got the memo. But
the memo I got, though, was wrong.
What did it say?
It says here that they're putting cover sheets on all GPS reports. I think I might have gotten the old one.
Office Space. The That's greatest show of all right time. Cover yeah. sheets. No, well, good for you. We're talking
we
about.
We needed that, Darren. We needed that. Thank you.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, buddy. Am I breaking up some tension?
No, not at all. Not at all. I
three think white guys slinging shit.
Yeah, three white guys talking about how we got it bad because we're white. No one knows. No one knows what it's like no to be. I that. Know.
You're gonna confuse. That's did. The shit that we have to get rid of those jokes.
Still fucking funny.
I think we should impeach Dean Blundell.
Yeah, me too. How are you doing, buddy? You all right? Good to see you.
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling I'm a little bit nervous about this list of pardons that are coming down. I'm feeling nervous about tomorrow. I even know that it looks like it's going to be safe with the
inauguration,
fencing, a show of force. I'm still nervous that these clowns are going to find a way to show up and cause problems.
Are you that worried? I kind of think that there was enough embarrassment from the sticks.
A little bit.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I can't wait. I'm sorry, outsider, not an American. I can't wait for him to pardon Joe Exotic.
Oh, hey. Have you guys
that happen?
Oh, dude. Have you guys seen the Joe Exotic limo that he's got coming to pick him up? I got to tell you about his day. So Joe's getting a pardon today, everybody. And
are you sure?
100%.
Okay.
100%. Well, because I know things. This is Joe Exotic's car. This is how he is, because he's rented this fucking limo. Look at it. Look at this fucking thing. He's rented this limousine. It's waiting to pick him up because he's expecting a pardon, because his entire team, Team Tiger, has said that he is getting a pardon from Trump as of today. This afternoon, he's getting one. And his whole deal is, this is fucking hilarious, he doesn't want anybody to see him until he gets his hair dyed again. So Joe is taking that fucking sweet ride. If you can look, it's a converted Dodge Ram limousine. And it is picking him up in jail. It's taking him to a salon. And after it takes him to a salon, he's going to get pictures done. And he's absolutely confident. He says that Trump is going to come through for him before he leaves office. I'm all about this pardon. I don't give a shit about any other pardon. But knowing that this guy is out on the streets again makes me incredibly happy, because America created him. I think it's fucking great.
I like it. I love it. I think if it happens, it's the reason why he does it, Darren. And this is definitely Trump, right? He wants to get a reaction. Like, he wants to pardon some friends. I get that, right? So he's got favors in the bank, but I think he also wants to pardon a couple of people so that we're talking about it. I wouldn't be surprised if he pardons Ghislaine as well.
I don't think it's Ghislaine. I think it's just you that says Ghislaine. And I think I know why you call her Ghislaine. I'm pretty sure I know why you call it Ghislaine. It's Ghislaine. Yeah. It's Ghislaine.
Ghislaine. That was the name of the street that she had the house on. He renamed the street Ghislaine. He went to Palm Beach and said, can we rename this street
Ghislaine? G-H-I-Z. Lane.
Dash Lane. Ghislaine.
It's you know what? I've been saying that for about 6 months on the air, and no one's caught that. So
you say that because you don't know how to pronounce her name, or it's funny.
I thought it was funny.
He knows exactly. He's one of the best broadcasters in Canada. He doesn't not know how to say Ghislaine.
Oh, you should tune into the show. I make mistakes all the time.
I don't think he'll partner. Basically, that would be wrong. But then again, if he did partner, I wouldn't be shocked.
No,
not one bit.
Do you think he pardons himself and his family?
He can't. Well, he can pardon himself, but apparently White House counsel are strongly advising that he doesn't.
He was going to pardon some family members, too, and they talked him out of that, apparently. So I think Steve Bannon will probably get clemency, right?
Yeah. You know what his blood type is?
Apparently he's agonizing over Bannon right now.
He
doesn't know whether Bannon should get it or not. He's going crazy thinking about whether or not he should give it to Bannon.
Is he really? He's not sure. CNN
said no more than 10 minutes ago.
They had a falling out.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he doesn't? Like the guys that he leaves high and dry, I'm excited to see that list. I'm excited to see if he pardons any family members. I'm really pumped to see if he pardons Joe Exotic because there are so many different aspects to him leaving that I'm fucking so psyched about. And it's not just, you know, the fact that you can look at America now and not go, oh, Jesus Christ. It's all the shit and the stories that are going to come out in the next 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Because if you ask me, and I could be wrong, but if you ask me, the reason why he didn't want to help out with the transition, Trump didn't want to help Biden, is that shit doesn't hide itself. Like those crimes aren't just going to go away. They're not just good. Like, you know how much fucking cover he has to give himself and all the people for, like, we only know about the really, really bad shit. What about all the other shit that he did? You know, what about, where is he getting his money from? Who did he get that money from in the beginning? His taxes are going to come out. The rape charges against him from E. Jean Carroll and another lady, they're going to go forward with a woman named Rebecca Kaplan. Like, we've seen the worst. But we're all like, if you love Schadenfreude, this is going to be the fucking week. This is the week for you because to find out what he's been really up to, that's content. That's fucking gold. Sure, it's come at the cost of Darren's country, but I'm really excited to see.
You know what, Trump's like one of those big jumbo shrimps you get that you have to cut the legs off with your fingers and then you got to peel the shells back on both sides of the shrimp. Yeah. It takes some effort, but you finally get to the shrimp. After a minute or two, you're like, yeah, look at that shrimp. That's a big piece of shrimp. I can't wait to eat that. That's what we have going on here. We're peeling these layers back one by one.
What does it look like, a mushroom?
You know who I wonder if he's going to pardon? I wonder if he's going to pardon Bill Cosby.
That's a great question. He might.
Just for shits and giggles.
Has Bill's attorneys asked, do you think? Do you think they've even bothered asking?
Yes, they have. Bill Cosby's attorneys have petitioned Donald Trump. Yes, they have. They absolutely have. I read about it today because fucking guy's like 95 years old. He's still in jail. He probably wants to get out. That's why.
But what I mean is, like, it's on paper, it's funny. To comedians, it's funny. I get that. But, like, it's really awful that there's going to be, like, one of those three strike guys who their last conviction was, like, a half quarter of weed who will be in jail for the rest of their lives. But fucking Tiger King gets a fucking pardon. Like it just feels, you know.
And he tried to have a chick killed like that. And have you guys seen Tiger King? Have you seen the actual show itself? Have you enjoyed it?
Like five episodes, I think.
I unfortunately watched it. I'm not proud of it, but I did.
I watched
it's entertaining TV.
I watched every episode.
Yeah.
He and his buddies were such meth heads. The guy that he hired to take out the hit on Carol Baskin took off with $5,000. He was going to do it for $5,000. Fucking, he's like, fuck, I'm a millionaire. And he took off and he went to a totally different town and did meth and got drunk for like a week. So the chick never died. And then it all came back on the Tiger King. That's what happened there.
Yeah, I remember
Sounds
that.
Sounds like a good week, though. You know,
great week. But when you had no money.
Carol Baskin flying high. You're like, this is awesome.
I should have called Carol Baskin and said, hey, who did you hire to kill your husband? Why? Why do you ask? No reason.
I think she just bonked him on the head and then dragged him out by a shoe to the pen.
They said that was the other thing they said is that they did a FBI opened up a big investigation into her. And they're like, no, the fucking dude just left. She didn't kill him. So Joe's wrong again.
I don't know about that. Didn't he disappear?
Yeah.
I thought he disappeared.
He had a shit ton of money. Like, why would he just disappear?
Because he had a shit ton of money.
So that guy, they were running ads to find him. Mm-hmm. On Dancing with the Stars when Carol Baskin, when she was on Dancing with the Stars. So that the family members, James is enthralled.
Don't you remember that episode of MASH when Hawkeye, it's like, I don't fucking know.
Do you not fucking watch TV, dude? Do you not like, no, you don't. Not, you don't? Is it all stream, you do?
I only stream. Like I do Netflix, and because I have kids, I do Disney. We have cable. I never, or whatever we have. I don't know what we have.
Sports? Do you watch sports?
Like, did you watch the Buffalo Bills game last week?
Fans? What's
that? You didn't watch the Bills game last week?
I don't even know if they won.
Are you fucking? Are you serious right now?
I don't follow. I don't follow it because I don't find it interesting without fans. I just don't.
Well, but you don't pay to go to games to watch the fans.
They got fake cheering
to watch.
What more do you want?
And there were 9,000 people in the stands on the weekend.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yep.
And for the AFC Championship game,
that used to be a failing crowd in Montreal. Remember?
9,000. Yeah. It's like we got to move the team. Darren, you got to be pumped, right? Like I thought about you last weekend in the city of Buffalo. I thought about the history of disappointment. I thought about the misery of actually living there. All those things came to mind. And
misery, great word.
Yeah, just extreme.
You wake up every day. My God. My God. You put a gun in your mouth. No. All right, one more day.
Yeah. But that win last week and the pick from Taron Jackson late in the game to kind of seal Johnson. The deal. Johnson, sorry. Taron, not Taron. Taron Johnson. I screwed up the entire name. That was like, it was, I likened it to when Jose Bautista hammered that fastball in the ALCS back in 2015. And it was like this relief, like this guttural relief from Bills fans, because I've been a Bills fan since I was like fucking 14 years old. And it's almost like I still can't believe it. Do you know what I mean? Like Buffalo is,
should Bill leave it because it happened. And it, now we got a tall task. We got to go into Kansas City and we got to play a potential Mahomes-less Chiefs team, which is
they're going to the Super Bowl,
whether or not Mahomes is in, because Henne looked pretty damn good when he came in. Against when Mahomes went down, he came in and looked great. Got a couple of big first downs, threw the ball downfield.
He did what he had to do. He didn't look.
He did what he had to do. Can he sustain it over four quarters? I don't know. Against a Buffalo defense that looked really good. Really,
he was
really
fine good. At holding a clipboard for the last 10 years. He'll be good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I it's kind of one of those things. If we play the Chiefs and we beat the Chiefs, whether it's 1 point or 10, or there's going to be people that go, well, you didn't play the Chiefs because Mahomes didn't play. And we got to look forward to that. Also, as a Bills fan, I'm nervous. I want to win the Super Bowl. Of course, as a Bills fan, I want to say we got our championship. We finally got our championship. But I'm nervous because once we get to the Super Bowl, if we beat the Chiefs, everyone for 2 weeks or however long, I think it's a two-week lead-up, is going to go, oh, don't you remember those four Super Bowls? Wide right, Dallas Cowboys, You know, Mark Griffin, you remember him? It's like, oh, it's going to come Norwood. It's going to Kelly. It's going to be like an onslaught of four Super Bowl losses. And that has got to weigh on the minds, not only of Bills fans, but some of the Bills players. Like, the pressure's on. We got to win this Super Bowl because the teams of the 90s couldn't do it. And that frightens me. That troubles me. It can't just be, oh, we made it to Super Bowl. We got a shot at winning. Yay! It's going to be 2 weeks of, don't you remember 90 to 93? That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, that's the narrative, right? The narrative is going to be, oh, fuck, you know, you came off those four in a row, those four losses in a row. I forgot about Mark Rippon, too, by the way. That must have sucked.
I think it's interesting that Darren's argument essentially is that the Bills players of today shouldn't be branded for the sins of Bills past.
Okay, right. I want to admit something. I want to admit something, Darren, and I don't want you to be angry at me. But now that
when
my Browns
preface it with that, I'm going to be angry.
Yeah,
I'm already angry with you.
My Browns are out, and I'm proud of them for even getting into a playoff game. And now I'm cheering for the Bills, but I don't want the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Grant gave me this idea. He goes, "Oh, wouldn't it be fantastic if the Bills go to the Super Bowl and they lose again?" And he wants that, so I'm sort of cheering for that right now.
Mm.
You look angry.
I gotta get. I am a little angry because we're face to face, and you could just lie to me. That's okay. And just you could not told me that story. Number one, you could have said, "Hey, Darren, we've become friends. I got your back. Go Bills." You know, being a Cleveland Browns fan, you should have sympathy for the Bills right up 90.
Yes,
you know?
But I want the pain to continue onto somebody else, right?
Now, why would Darren be mad at you?
That hurts.
Lock. I gotta
admit, I'm a little hurt.
Hey, so tell me, I don't think people understand though. Like, I don't think people get Darren. I don't think people that aren't Buffalonians or Bills fans in and around the Buffalo area, I don't think people understand how much this means to them. I don't think to the average football fan, you really get how much the people of Buffalo fucking love the Bills. And it's not like love. It's like ruin your body, jump on tables that are on fucking fire filled with shards of glass, taking a shit in Ralph Wilson Stadium and everybody cheering you on because it's just they love each other. Bills Mafia might be the best fan base in the world, like in the fucking world. And
definitely top three in the NFL, though.
Oh, I mean, they between
the Cleveland, the Dog Pound, they're pretty good.
Packers, too.
Their fans are good. Packers fans are good.
But I would say the I would say
Wait,
the
way that you just described those Bills fans, did they go to the Capitol on January 6th?
No, that's the thing. I don't
they
think
took
they
a shit
did.
Oh,
there
stadium.
Was, team.
Was
there
awesome.
Was one arrest so cool. From Buffalo, New York. There was one. They got one guy.
Oh, was there? Was he a Bills fan?
They got a guy.
Was Buffalo he a Bills fan?
Probably.
Yeah. But am I wrong in saying that like the city, like you've been in the city when the team was really good and they were going to Super Bowls. What's it like when they're fucking good? Because there's nothing else going on in Buffalo, like literally nothing else going on.
Well, you just answered your own question. That's pretty much it. There's nothing going on in Buffalo. I mean, so when the Bills are doing good, that's what brings happiness to the city of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And Sabres had a couple runs as well. But I mean, it's really a football town for sure. It's a blue collar. Go to work in the snow, grind it out, take your lumps, and hope for success kind of a town. So the Bills fit right into that. And I don't know, Allen versus Kelly, you know, Singletary versus Thomas. I mean, mm-hmm. Poyer versus Bruce Smith. I mean, there's a lot, you can do comparisons all day long, but they're a very good football team. And the thing that's I like the most about them is they come through in the clutch. When you need a big stop in the red zone, they stop it. Mm-hmm. If you need, and also a lot of luck. There was a few field goals that hit the uprights. There was a couple drop balls, a couple missed thrown balls, but that could have easily been caught and gone in for six. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It seems like the all the stars are finally aligning for the city of Buffalo.
Yeah,
this is the year they have to do it, right?
And the Sabres won last night, like 6-1,
look,
2.
Look what happened before Kansas City won it. They went to the Super Bowl and Mahomes lost. And then the next year he went back and they won it. So this could be a situation where they go, they get to the AFC Championship game, they lose, they come back next year even better, stronger, more resolved, and then take that final step into the Super Bowl and win it. Because Kansas City, Mahomes, it took a couple of years and he lost before he finally became the Chiefs and they got over that hump. So if they lose, I won't be devastated.
What happens if they lose, though?
What's that?
What happens if they lose? Like what happens?
I'll be upset, but I won't be devastated. I'm an adult.
On a field goal that goes that goes wide.
Who are you trying to convince?
What if they lost on a field goal that goes wide right? What if they did that?
Well, then I'll come to your house and stab you, Dean. And while I'm in Canada, I'll drive to Edmonton and stab Locke.
I'd like same to night. That.
You're not getting any blood on it.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll switch my stance. I'll cheer for the Bills.
Too late now. I don't want to hear that crap.
Guys, I want to talk to you about.
I just saw the Allen jersey behind you. I'll start cheering for the Bills.
Oh right. Boy, you should, man. They're a great fucking story. And Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have been maybe the best 1-2 combo. Well, they have been the best 1-2 combo, other than what's his face, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. The guy's unbelievable. Still, like 37, 38. He's crazy. Anyway, it'll happen this weekend. I have the Bills winning and Mahomes not playing. He's still in concussion protocol. He got fucked up last week. So I think the Bills win.
He looked pretty wheezy getting to his feet.
That didn't look like a very severe hit, though, that caused it. That was the confusing thing for me. Mm-hmm. No.
You know, concussions are weird. Like some guys can just get pounded in the head all day long and they're fine. Like, I'm fine. Other guys, you so much as touch them. Like Eric Lindros, and they're mush heads. They're called mush heads. Balsa wood that protects their brain. Eric Lindros, the guy just so much as breathed on him, he got a concussion.
That was mostly about karma.
That's true. Do you guys want to hear a story I heard from an NHLer who shall remain unnamed about Eric Lindros getting the shit knocked out of him by Rick Tocchet?
Because he fucked Brindamore as well.
You know that story? Yeah, the Brindamore story.
Yeah, dude, every single story hockey players that get in a fight always has to do with some kind of fucking magical myth about one player banging the other player's wife. It's like,
well, it's true, though.
And it never ends. Same, like it was every single story you hear. Oh, I heard that guy fucked the other guy's wife. Oh, really? What happened? How do you get traded?
I went to high school with Eric Lindros for about a year and a half because I went to Henry Street High School, where all the Oshawa Generals go. Mark Savard went there, I think, too. And Lindros was like just the biggest bully. Like, he's exactly the type of like lead character as a villain in some fucking John Hughes film.
Right in high school, he was.
That he had, yeah, he was an asshole. Like,
a member of Cobra Kai?
Sort of, yeah. Like, you could say that. I hung out with all these big dudes, and so Lindros and a couple of the other generals would walk around, and they'd like literally they'd push kids into lockers, that kind of shit. And my buddy Mike Bumbers walked up to, I don't remember who it was, but it was someone that just signed a contract, and he's like, congratulations on the contract. And the guy's like, thanks, Bumbers. He's like, yeah, it'd be a shame if something happened to your knee, though, wouldn't it? And he's just like, what? Then they never pushed any other kid in the locker again, right? So. Yeah, I don't have fond memories of the Oshawa Generals at Henry Street High School. They're a bunch of dicks.
I think Eric's changed quite a bit from the very limited interaction I've had with him and people that your mutual friends, is that he absolutely will be the first guy to say he didn't have anything figured out when he was younger, right? Like, he's,
that's good.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah, and I think everybody deserves a chance to, with the exception of politicians. One of the things that happened this week is we found out that a Canadian politician named Derek Sloan took, I think he's an Alberta MP. Am I not mistaken? Derek Sloan?
Yes, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He's from
Alberta. He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird, eh? How this guy,
I don't know much about him.
Well, he took a $131 donation from a guy named Paul Frum. Paul Frum is a neo-Nazi. He's a white supremacist, neo-Nazi. And now there's this narrative that's been going around that the Conservative Party of Canada is like a refuge for white supremacists. And today, or I think it was last night, Aaron O'Toole, the leader of the Progressive Conservative or the Conservative Party of Canada, said, I'm outraged. I'm outraged that he took $131 from a white supremacist. the problem is that he wasn't outraged when Derek Sloan made racist remarks last year and everybody tried to kick him out of the party. He was the only guy to vote no. So, I would love nothing more than to snuff out white supremacy, to snuff out white right-wing extremism here in Canada. I've been watching Aaron O'Toole and I've been watching the Conservative Party kind of chase their tails on this issue. Do they have a problem, James, do you think, with white supremacy extremists, and why are they fucking so drawn to conservatism?
I think they have a problem with religious extremism, and you know, born out of that is always anti-gay, you know, racist behaviors and everything. I'll just repeat what I said the last time we talked about this. Their main problem, the conservatives, is that they know that a certain percentage of their base are nut jobs, and they have to sort of placate the nut jobs until they get to an election, and then they sort of only get to wink at the nut jobs, and hope they get it, because in public they're saying things that the nut jobs wouldn't like. Mm-hmm. And so they have to do this double speak all the time because they don't know how to, and it's all hooked into fundraising, right? Those are the people that get money.
I think also part of the problem is, and again, I'm not making a direct line comparison here, but I think a guy like O'Toole and Archie Bunker, I refer to him as, a guy like that is influenced by the success of politics in other countries across the country. And he is, and I think a lot of them do it. It's like hockey teams, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, a team that like the Vegas Knights go to the Stanley Cup final. And then the next year, everybody's trying to build a team like they did. And I think politics does that to a certain extent as well. James is probably more versed in it than I am, but.
Well, look what they had him do just, I don't know if it was today, yesterday, where O'Toole put out a statement. And it was one of those like PR written statements that's just like, we strongly condemn, you know, all forms of white supremacy and yada, mm-hmm. yada, and everything. And I'm telling you, that percentage of the base that are comprised of nut jobs, they saw that as like, oh, liberal media is making him walk the plank. I guess he's got to walk the plank now, but they don't know. They don't necessarily think that he's being 100%, you know, honest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the problem. So the problem is that you have to like a certain percentage of nut jobs that are really attracted to your party. So that's the problem. The remedy isn't a remedy. It's a Band-Aid. The remedy should be, okay, listen, like we're a party that's not about this. You can take your donations and give them to fucking Maxime Bernier, whatever you want to do. But, you know, we're not going to take it. They could do that if they wanted to, if they wanted to be principled, but they're not. They're gonna get the guy that's publicly given money to Sloan, who's, by the way, an MP from Ontario, and give it to him, and then catch him. But literally a quarter of their base is probably more extreme than he is, and they donate all the time. It's, mm-hmm. They're not known, right? Like, mm-hmm. So... I don't know. I thought the punishment for Sloan was also a little bit weird. Like, it's just, you know, they're not innocent of similar things. It just depends on how subjective you want to be about hate and, you know, dangerous ideas or whatever you want to call it. Right. So, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem I have with the punishment on the political level is they never really, they just get moved to another job.
Yeah.
So you lose your cabinet position or whatever, and then they just give you something else.
They're not going to do that with Sloan. They're going to excise him, I think, because they when you get.
Oh, did they go that far? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of caucus, that's a pretty big deal.
So O'Toole put out this release.
Be an independent.
O'Toole put out this release today. Said the Honorable Aaron O'Toole, leader of Canada's Conservative and the official opposition, today released the following statement. Derek Sloan's acceptance of a donation from well-known white supremacists is far worse than a gross error of judgment or failure in due diligence. In accordance with the Reform Act, I've initiated the process of removing Mr. Sloan from the Conservative Party of Canada caucus. I expect this to be done as quickly as possible. Moreover, as leader of Canada's Conservative, I will not allow Mr. Sloan to run as a candidate in our party. Racism is a disease of the soul, repugnant to our core values. It has no place in our country. It has no place in the Conservative Party of Canada. He says, I won't tolerate it. Here's the problem with that statement, in my estimation, is he had a chance to kick this cocksucker out of caucus a year ago before he became the leader and chose not to because he knew he needed votes. So after he's become leader and Derek Sloan has found out to have taken money from a neo-Nazi, which is just a stupid fucking idea to begin with. He's saying that he wants to kick him out. And on top of that, this is just me spitballing. On top of that, wouldn't Aaron O'Toole have access to the donor list? Wouldn't they know ahead of time who's fucking donated to them?
They took 10%. They took their Mormon tax off of the donation from that guy. So he didn't say a fucking word.
They have that information and
this all this $131.
Yeah. $131. Yes. But it's blood money. It's from a guy Paul Frum, who's the guy that gave it to him, every year throws a birthday party for fucking Adolf Hitler.
Okay. So I want to know what it looks like. Who's looking at
are there balloons at this party?
I don't think there might be balloons with little mustaches.
Oh, on a completely unrelated topic, I just got a text from a guy named Jared Porter. Should I open it?
Do it. It's someone else's dick. That's also another fucking great story. Did
you shit. It is a dick.
Did you see
you this? Look beautiful. You want to come to my hotel? I have a jacuzzi.
No.
Val Kilmer's.
Yeah. So Jared Porter, if you guys haven't heard about Jared Porter,
this is gold.
He was, until this morning, the general manager of the New York Mets. If you'd like to see a picture.
For a month.
Yeah, for 1 month. He was there for 1 month.
And look at now, a picture of this guy. Like, now, look him up.
Yeah, I am.
He's not easy on the eyes. He's not a guy that should be sending dick pics to chicks.
Well, see, he didn't send a dick
pic. I love his dick. He said, I sent somebody else's dick. That was his case.
Okay. And then everything's okay.
I do that. I only send black ones because then I can't.
You're so pretty. Do you have a boyfriend yet? That's what he said.
This is what happened. So this guy, can you see him on the screen there? You see this?
There's a picture of the bulge.
Fat fuck.
He looks like Jason Kenney. Oh my God. Look, like his brother or something.
So this guy's name's Jared Porter. Jared Porter, when he was
name Randy,
when he was the head scout for the Cubs, sent 62 unwarranted texts to this young lady who's a foreign reporter for Major League Baseball. And she didn't send one back, but he kept going. 62 of them. Finally, he sent a dick pic. But the key here is this guy didn't send a picture of his dick. He sent her a picture of someone else's dick.
That's what he said.
Awesome.
That's what he said.
No, he said he just went and looked for a stock. So this guy went and Googled, so ashamed of his own dick, surrounded by all that fat, and probably.
Well, he could have been in a place with poor lighting.
No, dude, look at him. You know when you're fat. You've been fatter. I've been fatter. When you're fat.
Yeah, I've opened the text.
Attaboy.
I didn't want to, but I opened it.
Let's have a look.
Yes. Thank you, Darren.
I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't have done it. But I
we
just,
need more. We need more wood in our lives.
I couldn't resist.
That's smarter to send someone else's dick.
It's not smarter to send someone else's dick. I'm telling you why.
What if he's bisexual, Dean?
I'm telling you. No, he's not. I'm telling you why he sent the dick pic. He sent the other guy's dick because he's ashamed of his own dick. Which, if you know anything about dick pics, sending a dick pic is a terrible fucking idea. But imagining this guy Googling other dicks as he's furiously looking for the right dick to send this woman, and how many dicks he probably scrolled through.
Gotta find a dick.
No. Oh, that's not a bad dick. I'll favorite that dick. But I don't want to settle on. I don't want to settle on just any dick. So I'm going to make sure I get the greatest dick. So this guy, the GM of the Mets, had just sat there and scrolled through dick after dick after dick until he's like, "That's the dick that I want to send her." So he sends.
I have a question.
Laughlin scrolling through memes of that black dude on the bed there, right?
That's different. That's different, James. Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
How many? Like, take the dick pic out of it. Okay, guys, how many texts do you need to send to a woman with no reply before you get the idea that she might not be?
62?
Yeah.
Jesus. No. Like,
you can build a ladder.
Fucking idiots. They're fucking idiots.
Yeah. This is what this guy did. He took the gun, he loaded it, right? And then he loaded it, and then he put his foot up and put the gun right to the foot, right? And pulled the trigger.
He shot himself in the foot.
Right?
62. 60. Wow, she hasn't responded yet. All right. Here's my dick. Maybe she'll get back to me.
Well,
now.
He did say he sent a picture of his pants, like his underwear with a bulge in it. That was before the dick pic.
Maybe it was like an artistic project where he was first, I'm going to send her the kindling, and then I'm going to send her the lull. And I'm going to send it to the street.
Yeah, but you're right, Locke. I mean, stupid. Like,
yeah.
Like, you're a GM of a Major League Baseball team.
Dream job.
Manager. You got a great job. Your team has got a new owner with billions of dollars. You're laughing. You're living. You figured out life. You won.
No, the problem is, this is where you're wrong. The problem is he sent them in 2016, and the woman sat on these 62 texts and whoever's dick that was. Yes. And now that he is the president or was the general manager for 1 month of the New York Mets, like dream gig. All of a sudden, this girl's like, oh, I remember.
Okay.
You. Remember
this? I forgot about that.
Remember this dick pic that you sent me? No, but this is my point. And I said this I've said this for years. It is a terrible idea. Terrible idea to send anyone anything unsolicited, especially a picture of a dick. Your dick.
Begs the question.
Someone else's dick.
Have you ever sent a dick pic to somebody that wanted to see?
Never in my life. I have never ever sent. Oh, no shit. Yeah, that's the least surprising thing I've heard.
I've done that quite a bit, actually.
I got married 80 years ago, so there's no, and my wife doesn't need to see a picture of my dick, so I don't send her anything.
I sent your wife a picture of my dick?
What's yes, you can. I'll DM you.
That's good that you guys got so close in the podcast that Darren can send your wife pictures of his dick. Yeah.
Yeah. Send just getting her ready for the weekend.
Look, who's Darren Pfeiffer? And you have his number?
James?
Oh, God, you call that a dick?
Well, why are his balls so small?
And you know what?
James, come on. James is not. He's being really quiet here.
Doesn't want
James?
Have
you sent a dick pic? No. We want to know if you've sent someone a picture of your dick.
Never my own. No, why would I do that?
Lachlan's
laughing the hardest because on this panel, he's the one that has sent a half dozen dick pics.
I have not.
Dude, you have sent me so many wood memes.
Okay, but that's different.
I'm going to show people right now our Twitter feed.
Is a dick pic.
No, they're dick pics. Dude, you have sent, here, I'm going to get these.
Driftwood pic.
I got to get these pictures off my phone.
That's that?
The log that. Driver photo.
This is on a regular basis. Like this is, I'm gonna put this up, and I'm sorry, but
that? Who's that?
This Dick is what Cole. Awesome.
That's a real baseball player, by the way. It's not fake.
This is what Locke sends.
Kind of redundant, isn't it? That name.
And it is nonstop in our DMs. Nonstop pictures of like, and they're usually topical.
I like that one. That one's hilarious.
I usually try to tie it into the conversation or the news of the day.
That's yeah.
You should show the organic meat one. Show the organic meat.
All right. No? I'll do that. Okay. Yeah, sure. Whatever. Fuck. I don't care anymore. Show that. The organic.
Every podcast, man. Every fucking podcast goes down jizzling.
Talk with Locke. It's a new segment. We should sell it. Dean, see if you can sell that.
Talk with Locke.
Cross.
We can sell that. And this
Cross would be a great porn name for you.
And this is non-stop. It is wood meme. It is wood meme after wood meme after wood meme after wood meme after wood meme. And then, of course, prep, because we always like talking about that stuff. But yeah.
And you got the video of the Jenna Ryan chicks in there. I saw that.
Yeah.
That girl is she's a shit show, eh?
You stopped just before that vaccine one.
which one?
Just got the vaccine.
I hate that one. It looks like Popeye's baby.
You got
Is that a real photograph or is that doctor, do you think?
No, that's real.
That's real.
I feel bad for the guy, honestly.
I do too. It's a bird.
I feel bad for us. We had to look at it. Like,
you shouldn't have got the vaccine.
Yeah, I shouldn't have got the vaccine. His dick is enormous now.
I don't feel bad for him at all.
I don't either. If I had something like that, dude,
Instagram sensation.
He's the biggest meme on the planet. Him and Crying Jordan, the two biggest memes on the planet.
Couldn't find anything to put it in. Your wife, if you were married, be like, no way, no thanks, I'm good.
Yeah, not tonight.
Not tonight, not ever.
No.
What if you had a camera?
Or a Portuguese girl.
No, you know.
Oh, Jesus Christ with Jesus you in the poor.
I didn't make that up. I think that was James that brought that up.
Wasn't James.
Anybody that's been with the Portuguese girl has brought it up, you know? brought something up. Anyway.
Speaking of Portuguese girls, did you guys see Rachel Uchoa? Did you guys watch the Tiger documentary? Anybody? You guys watch it?
I'm halfway through the first episode. There's been too much sports on. Two UFC parts. On the weekend, mm-hmm. hockey. So I haven't been able to get through it. All the football.
It's
I'd love
awesome.
To see it because I have a theory that he stopped being good at golf when he stopped fucking porn stars, right?
I think they get into that, don't they?
Well, I think it was sort of. It's more the drug addiction that kind of led him down that garden path. But porn stars were sure part of it. It was ego. It was his sense of entitlement.
Do you think his wife got a golf club to his back? That's why he had so many back issues. Like she got a couple shots in.
No, she didn't. What happened was that she hit him in the face with a 9-iron when he was on his way out of the house.
And she smoked him in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before he got in the SUV and blasted off the
Escalade. Do you see the text that she read though, just before she did that?
Yeah.
About he sent Tiger it to the other woman, and it said, "You're the only one I've ever loved."
Yeah.
So you know what? I might take a 9-iron.
Well, didn't he leave his phone laying on the couch?
Yes.
Isn't that the rumor?
Yeah.
What fucking dummy?
Well, wasn't the old man
not dumb for betraying and cheating?
Don't leave your phone laying around.
Wasn't the old man a bit of a hound dog too?
Yeah, the old man had a Winnebago parked in the golf course parking lot where he would fuck broads while Tiger was out. You know, on the range, and made no bones about it either. Like he would. No, the reason why I'm showing you this is because during the documentary, and it wasn't really revealing. We kind of knew everything, but the thing that fucking was unbelievable to me was: do you remember the girl that he got caught with? So this was the girl who sent the text message, who Tiger sent the text message to, who Elon caught. Elon called this girl immediately after seeing the message. Like, I knew it was you, you whore. She's like, called her a whore. But she used to be
dirty whore.
She used to be so hot, like absolutely gorgeous. This is her prior to a little camel toe there for the fellas. There you go. Just an absolutely stunning.
The nipple. The nipples are in the wrong spots.
They're a little fake. High, aren't they? Yeah.
They're fake, but do you remember her? You remember yeah. how great I could not. She's beautiful. I could not believe the difference in her then and her now, because all I got out of that documentary was this woman looks exactly like Caitlyn Jenner. Look at this. Look at like, is that so not
her now?
That,
on the left?
That's her now on the left. Right now. That is her.
Wow. Do you know what the problem is?
That's a dude.
Look.
James, what?
The problem is divorce court.
Gosh.
Because divorce court, she's never sank a putt in her life, right? And divorce court made her filthy rich. And what did the filthy rich do? They do that shit to their face. So if the courts were fair and just gave her like $20 million, have a nice day, she probably would never have looked like Caitlyn Jenner.
Father Time is beating the crap out of them.
Well, it's not Father Time.
But I don't have any money. I'm going to look like this for the rest of my life.
Can you fucking
believe that? There's a little Octomom in there, too. Do you remember Octomom?
That is just bananas.
That's a little too much sun, too, I think.
No, dude, that is 100% Caitlyn Jenner. Like it's not like – and I put this story out, and I thought to myself, don't be rude. Don't be mean to girls. Don't call her ugly. And I didn't. But she clearly looks way better in the like. Fucking don't do this to yourself, ladies. Jesus Christ! Look at that. Like that's what she looks like now. Well, that's Caitlyn, but like, look
have
at
you
that.
Been called transphobic yet?
No, I've been called everything other than transphobic.
Dean, has anyone called you transphobic yet?
No, why?
For the blog post, yeah. That's coming.
One person.
Yeah,
one person. Well, I said,
I
think
Kate could be a skinhead like I'm about to be in about 10.
I don't think so. If a dude's ugly, I'm gonna say that dude is fucking ugly. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Hey, Dean, can you do a decent Australian accent? Because if you could, you could do some like comedy skits being Julian Assange. I think you could do that.
Can he not hear you? I don't think he can hear you. Oh, he did.
Great idea. It's a great idea.
I can barely hear you now. Can you hear me? Can you see that?
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good.
James always has one really, really solid idea per podcast. That might be it. That is a solid idea.
Yeah, oh, I have another one for next Halloween. I'm just going to put a slit right here and go out as a dickhead. My whole costume.
That would work. Hey, I just got news.
All I need is Mike
Babcock, former coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, from an interview in the Athletic app. He's working for NBC starting tomorrow for hockey broadcasts.
Mike Babcock is going to be doing color.
Babcock will be good. He'll be good. He'll be good.
That's white supremacy and racism.
Yeah. He'll be good. Yeah. He'll be good because he's
right. NBC took a bit of a hit. They lost. They lost Mike Milbury saying comments about women. They lost Jeremy Roenick for trying to have a threesome with Catherine Tappan.
Yeah.
What I'm tired of is Vic Router never gets the call.
I don't think they should have fired Mike Milbury because any guy that beats up a fan with his own shoe should have a job for life.
Yeah. Vic Router probably is drinking right now on a curling rink in Manitoba, right now.
Wondering why he keeps getting – why do I keep getting passed over for hockey? Because, Vic, you're so good at curling.
And here's Vic Rutt, and we're going on a new championship of curling here in Manitoba. Like, this is the worst announcer of all time. Yeah. It's like, hey, hey, guy at racetrack. Yeah? The guy that yells into the mic. Yes, you're hired. For what? Curling.
Oh. I think we lost Julian again.
Yeah, we lost Dean again.
No, you didn't. I'm right here. I'm right here. Can you hear me now? You got me now?
Back.
Yeah, you got me. I agree with you. I think like curling commentary is...
You can hear the audio, but your video is frozen.
You can hear me now? Might as well end it.
I think me and you, Locke, we're...
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Dean, did you pay your internet bill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Paid it all. Yeah. Paid it today, as a matter of fact.
All right.
Yeah. $191.
Yeah, that reminds me. I got to pay mine.
All right. I'll let you guys go. Appreciate you being here for the podcast. Yeah, it is, isn't it? $200 for fucking cable and the internet. It's a shame. It's a shame.
It's criminal. It really is. If I ever go to jail for anything, it's going to be because I burnt a Shaw building down. I shouldn't have said that.
No, but that's okay. It's on the record now, bud. Thanks for being part of the podcast.
My lawyer keeps telling me to stop threatening things on the on radio and on my podcasts.
Well, you can get around that, Locke, if you put the word allegedly before.
Okay, thank you.
It's a lie.
We're going to burn down the Shaw building. Allegedly. Hey,
by the way, Darren, go read that article that James wrote. You jumped on after we had a conversation about it, but James wrote an amazing article today, and it's worth the 5-10 minutes it'll take you to read that.
Send me the link on the Twitter DM.
I will.
Because I'm lazy now. I don't want to look it up.
Locke Lacrosse, Darren Pfeiffer, James, who's already split. Thanks, guys, for doing this. You can find Lachlan at Cruise 95.7 FM. He's the morning guy at Edmonton. Lachlan Cross on Twitter as well. You can find Darren at Darren99 on Twitter. He's also the host of the Dangerous Darren Show, which is on Adobe Radio and at DeanBlundell.com. And I'm me. So there you go. That's it for us. Have a great day, guys. Really
go, Bills, go.
Go, Bills, go.
Go, Bills, go is right. Talk to you guys soon. Thanks, guys. There you have it. That's the podcast on the roundtable for today. Some technical problems. It happens. I never get bent out of shape anymore. I used to fucking lose it when I was in radio. Why isn't this working? Who cares? It just didn't work. Got other stuff in there you can listen to, watch anyway. Anyway, thanks for being part of the podcast and enjoying it with us if you did. You can get us at DeanBlundell.com, which is where you can sign up for the newsletter. You can also find us at It's Dean Blundell on Twitter or DBlundellNet. Which is where you're going to see all this stuff, as well as the other things that we do, content-wise. Thanks to our friends at Owner's Box. Thanks to our friends at Blue Microphones. Is that a brain fart? Thanks to Blue Microphones. Thanks to our friends at Ed's Fine Imports, where you can get your Gitch, 3 pairs of Gitch. For the price of 3, you get 4. They'll send you an extra pair of Gitch when you use promo code GITCH3 That's how you do that. Go to Ed's Fine Imports, the best boxer briefs on the planet. You put them on, you put your nutsack in a pouch, which is included in your underwear. It sits in there like a little tree fort. It's like a sleeping bag for your things. And then you go around your day, and you're at the end of the day, you're breathable. You still feel great. And everything is just kind of nice and not too snug, because you never want too snug. Brilliant underwear. Edsfineimports.com. The underwear is Gitch. Promo code Gitch3 is your promo code to get the fourth pair for free. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye.